Genesis chapter 34. This is the story of Dinah. Now, poor Jacob, he had so many problems in his life. He got deceived by Laban. He had to run away from Laban. Nearly got beat up by Laban, or even killed. But then he gets saved by God. He wrestles with an angel. Then he has to meet Esau. And then he's resolved with Esau, and he moves on. And now he's got another problem. And in a sense, our lives are like that. It's one thing after another. But that's because our lives are in God's hands. And all these things that we have are to prepare us for the kingdom and to prepare our characters being in God's kingdom. And so we don't get an easy life. Jesus said it's like picking up a cross every day. So Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she bore to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. So they'd all been living, you know, as a family together, and she wanted to go out and see what the world was like. Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, the prince of the land, saw her. He took her, lay with her, and humbled her. His soul joined to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the young lady and spoke kindly to the young lady. Shechem spoke to his father, Hamor, saying, "Get me this young lady as a wife." Now Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter, and his sons were with his animals in the field. Jacob kept quiet until they came. Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to talk with him. The sons of Jacob came in from the field when they heard it. The men were grieved, and they were very angry because he had done folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, a thing which ought not to be done. So see, that's the trouble, that you go out into the world, and before you know where you are, you're sucked in very, very quickly. And that's what happened to Dinah. Hamor talked with Dinah's brothers, saying, "The soul of my son Shechem longs for your daughter. Please give her to him as a wife. Make marriages with us. Give your daughters to us, and take our daughters for yourselves. You will live with us, and the land will be before you. Live and trade in it, and get possessions in it." Shechem said to her father and to her brothers, "Let me find favor in your eyes, and whatever you will tell me, I will give. Ask me a great amount for a dowry, and I will give whatever you ask of me, but give me the young lady as a wife." The sons of Jacob replied to the sons of Hamor, very deceitfully, and they spoke because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. And they said to them, "We can't do this thing to give our sister to one who is uncircumcised. Only on this condition will we agree, if you will be as we are, that every male of you be circumcised. Then will we give our daughters to you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will live with you, and we'll be one people." So they were misusing this idea of circumcision, because that was the sign that you were in covenant with God. And unfortunately, they were prepared to use this sign of being in covenant with God in a wrong way. So they said to these people, "But if you won't listen to us to be circumcised, then we'll take our sister and we'll be gone." Their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. The young man didn't delay doing this thing because he had delight in Jacob's daughter, and he was honored above all the house of his father. Hamor and Shechem, his son, came to the gate of their city and talked with the men of their city, saying, "These men are peaceful with us, therefore let them live in the land and trade in it. For behold, the land is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives. Let us give them our daughters. Only on this condition will the men agree to live with us, to become one people, if every male among us is circumcised as they are. Won't their animals and their possessions and all their animals be ours? Only let us give our agreement to them and they'll live with us." So you see, the world is not like it seems. Shechem said to Dinah, "Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you." And in a sense, maybe he did. But him and his family, they had this plan that, this family of Jacob are rich. They're richer than we are. We can get their wealth and it will become ours. And so things are not what they seem, and the world is not what it seems. And also when you marry somebody, you don't just marry the person, you marry into their family. And you've got to be very clear about this when you get married, that you are making a commitment to not just a person, but to a family and a culture and a way of life. And if that family and that culture is not of God and is not Christian and is not utterly devoted to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then you are going to have all these problems. And as you can see, these people all seem very nice, but they actually had another agenda. They had another idea behind all that, that these people are more wealthy than we are. Yeah, we'll take on the sign of their religion, like getting circumcised. Like people might say, oh yeah, I'll be baptized, then I can marry you, or something like that. When actually, there is another motive. So, all who went out of the gate of the city, that's the leaders, listened to Hamor and to Shechem his son, and every man was circumcised. But on the third day, when they were sore, that two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, each took his sword, came upon the unsuspecting city and killed all the men. They killed Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword. They took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went away. Well, you see, she'd gone into the town just to get to know the girls, and yet she ends up having to stay and really be trapped in the house of Shechem. Jacob's sons came on the dead and plundered the city because they defiled their sister. They stole their flocks, their herds, their donkeys, what was in the city, what was in the field, and all their wealth. They took captive all their little ones and their wives, and took as plunder everything that was in the house. Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have troubled me. You've made me to stink in the eyes of the people of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. I, being few in number, they will gather themselves together against me and kill me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my family." So, you see, again, Jacob's faced really with death at the hands of people that are more powerful than him. And so he has to remember that just before this happened, we read at the end of chapter 33 that he built an altar called El Elohi Israel, that he called this altar God who is the power of Israel, and Israel was Jacob. So he's being tested as to whether he really believes that, because that's how life goes. But we're tested, we're troubled on every hand, so that we might really show that we do believe that God is our power, God is our strength.